The National Popular Vote, an organization that wants to address the Electoral College. Now, first off, the 2016 presidential election, a good way to talk about this for the Electoral College? Is there a better example for why they either do or do away with the Electoral College?
Well, we think it's about every presidential election, right? The problem we're trying to address is that in every presidential election, there are battleground states that matter and there are flyover states that don't. And we think electing a president in 11 to 12 battleground states affects every presidential election because battleground states have all the power and flyover states have none. So, for example, think about the last time you saw a presidential campaign conducted down there in southern Illinois. And it's been a very long time because Illinois is a reliably Democratic state. So we believe the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, the agreement amongst the states, will make every voter in every state politically relevant in every presidential election. And so every presidential election is an awesome context to talk about Electoral College reform.
But the actual Electoral College, wasn't it actually created to really make sure that a wide array in different states, and that it would protect the states participating in the presidential election? Wasn't that the original intent?
No, I mean, it was. And I mean, I think that's bad civics. And I think it's a lot of misinformation. I mean, a lot of folks, and I don't mean that as an attack. I hear it over all the time. The truth is the Electoral College is the power of the state to award electors. Okay, the state take all system that 48 states have right now was adopted in the lead up the Civil War. It was never even considered at the Constitutional Convention. So to understand the Electoral College is to understand that the legislature has the power to award electors. If your listeners like read Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, they'll read 17 words that say each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors. And it is absolutely moot on method. So, for example, a lot of people think the Electoral College was there to protect small states. Not true. The United States Senate is there to protect small states. We simply ask state legislatures if they want to award their electors on the basis of the national popular vote, because when we reach 270 electoral votes in our compact, it'll award the presidency to the candidate who wins the national popular vote, because we believe that's in the best interest of 4 out of 5 states that are now politically irrelevant in every presidential election. These state-based winner-take-all laws make states like Illinois irrelevant and states like Michigan hyper-relevant, for example.
But
right?
I thought
or
that... But
not necessarily Michigan, but a battleground state hyper-relevant in presidential elections. It's not in the best interest of Illinois. It's not in the best interest of 4 out of 5 states. That's why we pursue the compact.
But, Pat, isn't this winner-take-all concept in the Electoral College relatively young? I mean, 1910 or something like that?
Well, are you talking about the state-based winner-take-all system? Yeah, no, I mean, the last state, so a majority of the states had the state-based winner-take-all system by the 11th presidential election. And, again, it was adopted by northern and southern states in the lead-up to the Civil War, where the North and the South wanted reliable slates of electors to consolidate their political power. The last state to adopt the state-based winner-take-all law was South Carolina in 1860. But before that, lots of states had different methods, right? And, of course, two states have a different method right now, right? Maine and Nebraska do it by congressional district. So if there is a problem with the state-based winner-take-all system, state-based legislative action is the way to address it. And the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact says when states totaling 270 or more electoral votes replace their current state law with our state law, which is a compact, it triggers and all those electors go to the voter, the candidate who gets the most popular votes in all 50 states. That's how we move to a national popular vote.
All right, this idea here was, that, especially when it came to the Founding Fathers, that this was a branch of ensuring federalism.
Well, federalism, I mean, yes, I definitely think the president is important as it relates to federalism, but what everybody kind of misunderstands is what federalism is, right? Federalism has to do with where the power exists, okay? And so national popular vote, by preserving the state power to award electors, preserves the power of the state in a federalist system. So the president becomes an important federal actor, and the states continue to have a relevant role in presidential elections. They just choose to award their electors in a different way than they're doing today to make every state more relevant with the American president. So federalism is indeed important. You know, there are federal powers and state powers. The power to award electors, right, is the most basic state power in the Constitution. We're asking state legislatures, like Connecticut just did through their state Senate, 21-14 in a bipartisan way, to change the method with which they award electors, right, to make Connecticut voters more relevant and Connecticut issues more relevant with the president. And frankly, as a, you know, Republican trapped behind the blue wall in Minnesota, right, it's sort of a no-brainer. It makes every voter in Minnesota politically relevant, Republican or Democrat, just like it makes every Democrat in Oklahoma politically relevant. Makes sense.
All right. You know, because I have a number of people, and some of this is because, I mean, we were taught in school how important this basic principle is. I've got a number of people who have already been contacting us this morning saying, wait a second, what would have happened to us if the Electoral College, you know, here in Illinois, you know, they really, in particular with the Trump election, they see the Electoral College as a protection for those of us in the flyover states. Well, you're saying it helps ignore. Others say, no, it ensures that your voice is heard.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, so for example, when's the last time the state of Illinois went for a Republican presidential candidate? It's been quite a while, right?
Yep, right.
So the truth is there isn't a single Republican voice that has been represented in the Electoral College since the last time Illinois supported a Republican. Now, President Trump on Fox and Friends 2 weeks ago says, I support a national popular vote for president. I think the reason he supports a national popular vote for president is because he understands that that would change the nature of the campaign. And if you change the nature of the campaign, you change the outcome. To say President Trump would have lost the 2016 election if it was a national popular vote election ignores the fact that if it was a national popular vote election, he would not have hunkered down in just five battleground states. No, three Rust Belt states that usually go for the Democrats.
Well, like Pennsylvania.
And then the battleground states of Florida and Virginia. Right. I mean, that's where he ran his campaign, Ohio.
But in the Federalist Papers, the Electoral College, I'm trying to remember which one of the Federalist Papers. I hate it when I forget stuff. It talks about that the idea was to specifically stop a tyrant that could sway large portions of the vote. And that,
right.
That
well, that's okay, but he's talking about the Electoral College there.
Right.
Right? He's not talking about the state-based winner-take-all law.
Yes.
And that's where people get really confused.
That's interesting.
Right now, the Electoral College is there so that the states would have a power to direct electors on how they would cast their ballots for the president of the United States. That's why it says each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors. Okay? So the state winner-take-all law appears nowhere in the Federalist Papers. I mean, there were only three states that used this state-based winner-take-all law in the first presidential election, and they changed their method by the third presidential election. Okay?
Yeah.
So I agree that the Electoral College, personally, is an important principle, right? And it's an important institution. But the state-based winner-take-all law is no more or less the Electoral College than the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact or a congressional district system like Maine or Nebraska used, or if the legislature determined to appoint electors. And so you can't just say Electoral College and then attack the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact,
right?
Because we are a state-based approach.
We got a system. We keep tinkering with it, and sometimes that tinkering doesn't work out because there have been changes and add-ons as well. Quickly, because we're running out of doggone time. Pat Rosenstiel is joining us this morning. What legislation is out there right now to address the Electoral College in Illinois? Is there anything out there?
Well, Illinois actually joined the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact in 2008. They were the third state to do so. So they have passed our bill that you can read at nationalpopularvote.com. The most recent Senate passage in Connecticut by a 21-14 margin is sort of the legislation you want to track. This is the state-based action. Now, to understand Illinois joining the compact and nothing has changed for them, they're waiting for states to join, okay? So right now we have 12 states or 11 states, and when Malloy signs the bill, Governor Malloy in Connecticut signs the bill, we'll have 12 states that have passed our bill with 172 electoral votes. Okay, so this isn't a fly-by-night idea. It's been fully considered by 12 states, passed and enacted with 172 electoral votes. When states with 98 more electoral votes join this compact, it triggers, and we can have a presidential election where the voters of Southern Illinois matter as much as the voters of South Florida.
You know, it's very often after doing this for years, you know, we get to the point, you know, where you're going, well, you know, can we get an interview with the presidential candidates? And like, why would we want to do that? You don't matter.
I mean, and I like Salukis, you know. I think those guys should matter. They're good voters with big issues and should have a voice with the American president. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to think the last time a president came through Southern Illinois was like John F. Kennedy or something. You know, I mean, it's literally been that long.
The last time Illinois was a battleground state was likely 1960, right? It was a battleground, and that's a long time for Illinois to wait to be relevant. I'm talking about every voter in Illinois, including Southern Illinois voters, certainly Chicagoland voters, but all over the state. And Republican candidates get elected in Illinois through the strength of the turnout in Southern Illinois.